The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience, Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches there's a time to laugh. Yes, there is. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? I don't know. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk Jesus with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there. Here you go. Here's a big one. Let's see if you can deal with this one. Do we think that God will really answer our prayers? When we pray, do we think God will really answer that? Just keep in mind that your answer to that question may depend on whether you get an answer or not. Oh, that hurts. All right, folks, here's how it goes. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. That would be sad. You can just reach out to us. All you can do that is you can call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like a peaceful day and evening with no drama.
Aww.
Thank you, David. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, my friend. We should let people know the internet is not working here at the station, which means five or six different things, but only a couple things that apply to you. The app for He Must Increase Ministry does not work right now. The app for KAAM does not work right now. I just checked it. And you kind of have to have a radio. That's it. Radio? Are we on radio?
Yep.
This is radio. Oh, so you got to have a radio today if you can't listen to it. This is kind of a useless thing to say, but you'll basically have to listen on the podcast. That'll just be how it goes.
And I talked about it yesterday, but I did get it done. Listen to this.
You got something done. What'd you get? What is that?
That's when you made the seal noise yesterday.
Play that again. Okay, I want you to double that up in the future so we can have twice it, like have it twice okay. in a row. Okay. Brilliant. That's me making a seal noise.
Yep.
That's sad. Okay.
I said I was going to clip it, and I did.
You did,
but
I'll
triple it up.
Yeah,
like that.
Just too funny. You have to do that. That's brilliant. Great job, Jim and Jacob. Excellent work. Here you go. If you have something you want to reach out to us, you can use the phone. It works. It's a telephone. It's been around for a while. We promise nothing bizarre will happen that we're aware of. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. 8483. Non-professional voice coming up because we basically do a non-professional show, so it should work out that way. Here you go.
214-210-8483.
There you go. You can do that, so you can call in, you can text, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, at hemustincrease.org. David@hemustincrease.org. That is the way to reach us. That is that simple. A couple things we want to do before we get going into the teaching, and that is we want to lift up some people in prayer. Let me give you an update on Remy. Remy is off the ventilator. Really good news. Young little lady we've been praying for by the grace of God. His mercy has fallen upon that family, and we are just thankful. We are just blessed that she is doing better. We also have a very close brother, Brother Al, our very close brother, him and Lori. Lori's mom passed away the other night, and so we want to pray comfort for them, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to give thanks for Remy, and we're going to ask for comfort for Al and for Lori, and just ask that the grace of God would surround them as well. For those that do not know, just a quick little interesting trivia note. Today is show number 1200 in Dallas. This is our 1200 show. That's probably why the internet doesn't work. It's just overloaded because there's too many people listening. All right. Anyhow, let's start off by prayer, thanking the Lord for Remy and asking for comfort for Al and Lori. Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. We thank you. We praise you. You are awesome to us. And even trials we don't understand, Lord, you are working them out for our good because of your graciousness, because of your mercy. Even the hardest things that we go through, you're coordinating in such a way as to strengthen us and draw us closer to you. And sometimes, Lord, it feels frustrating. And other times we can see it all the way through. But we just want to say thank you because it is always, always your grace that helps us to prevail. And so, Lord, we bring before you thanksgiving and praise for Remy and for the healing power that you've granted on her and that you're helping her move forward and get better. She's off a ventilator. We thank you and praise you for that. That's so awesome, Lord. Great for the family. Great for the people praying. Great for testimony. And, Lord, we lift up our dear friend Al and Lori, his wife. Lori's mom passed away, and you know all about it, Lord, and we are just asking you to be the God of comfort and to comfort them in this time. Pour upon them a grace, a kindness, a peace that enables them to prevail and to have hope. We ask that you would bless these and the people that are listening to us, Lord. There are so many people listening, and we are asking for those that are just struggling mentally. They're just having a terrible time, a lot of warfare in the mind. We are asking for your graciousness, for your peace, for them to be able to rest in their thinking and to be strong in you with their hearts and minds focused on heaven. We pray all of this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. Okay, folks, we're jumping into the Word of God because that's one of the things that we do. And we are in James chapter, Chapter 2. I do want to remind everybody, once again, we are not on the internet. We are not on the apps. We are only on the radio. So this might be a podcast review for many people, which is okay. Maybe the Lord's got other plans for you this afternoon. We'll just follow along with that. In the meantime, let's get into the text in James chapter 2. And what we're looking at is we're looking right at the point where basically, I think we're looking at verse 7, where it says this: "It is not the rich who oppress you and drag you into courts." Actually, it's verse 6. "Are they not the ones who blaspheme the noble name by which you have been called? If you really keep the royal law stated in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." So let's go back up to this in verse 6. "Is it not the rich people who oppress you and drag you into courts? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the noble name by which you have been called?" Let's understand something about the rich people and understand what's being declared here by James. God does not hate rich people. That is dumb. People who have that theology should never teach again. God does not hate rich people who are dependent on God. What God doesn't like, what he dislikes, what he absolutely dislikes, is this understanding that rich people, in many ways, have a sense that they are self-sufficient and that they operate in less humility. So let me read this little thing real quickly. You'll understand. James is making a comparison between rich people and poor people. Biblical comparisons are often general rules. When people are being compared, that does not mean there are no exceptions. For example, everybody who sins dies, yet Enoch did not die. And for those that are trying to stick Enoch in the eschatology, terrible. Just terrible theology. Here's the deal. Between rich and poor people, it is often rich people, the entitled, the powerful, who become the biggest pain in the necks. The main reason is that they do operate in less humility than most other people. If you have a big screen TV, by the way, by the world's standards, you are a rich person. See, nobody thinks that in this country. But Billy Graham was right. If you live in America, you are the rich person. What the issue that James is trying to drive at is simply this. It's the understanding that if you are doing well, praise the Lord. Money is a tool. It's not a trophy and it's not a toy. It's a stewardship. And if the Lord has enabled you to utilize and to have a collection of funds, God bless you. Just be of the right spirit, the right heart, the right mind. And if God has not enabled you to do that, God bless you. Just be of the right spirit, the right heart, and the right mind. The Lord knows what he's doing, and the Lord knows what he allows. And it's not that I'm sick of, but boy, am I sick of people are like, you're the master of your own destiny. You're in charge of everything. The Yiddish proverbs, men make plans, God laughs. The saying we have here on the David Spoon Experience, you're the master of your destiny right up until God drops a piano on your head. If the Lord enables you and you're in that position, great. Be humble about it. Use it wisely. If he's not put you in that position, praise the Lord. He knows exactly what he's doing. Never think otherwise. And not all rich people are bad, and not all rich people are good, and not all poor people are bad, and not all poor people are good. It all depends on whether they're connected to Jesus, which is the very next verse. It says this in the very next verse. It says, if you really keep the royal law stated in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. So let's understand what that means. If we actually operate in loving others as we love ourselves, we're doing good. Yes, it is possible to love people as much as you love yourself, although it takes an act of God to get people to shift from selfishness to selflessness. It is fully available in Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? It is fully available in Jesus Christ for your life that you can shift from selfishness to selflessness, and that you can actually love people as much as you love yourself. But if we as people prefer rich people because they can be more helpful to our cause, because they look better or because they smell better, we're operating in sin. Did you hear me? If we prefer rich people in our lives because they can be more helpful to us, we're sinning. We have to understand what favoritism is. Favoritism is the practice of giving unfair preferential treatment to one person or group at the expense of another. Christians are not entitled to operate in favoritism when it comes to class. Not okay. When it comes to race, not okay. They are permitted to have a sense of favoritism when it comes to blood relatives in the faith. That's a little different. But I'm trying to get you to understand is that in our society, we think the rich people are great and we just got to help the poor, or as some people say, put up with the poor. And it's like, that's just absurd. God has chosen the poor people of this world rich in faith. That is a gift from God that the rich people do not have, because it takes faith to please God. And you are better off on this 80-year journey having faith and preparing and laying treasures up for heaven for your eternity than you are having $1 billion in the bank. And some people say, well, can't you have both? Yeah, if that's what the Lord allows. But if you do have both, remember something. You're a steward. No matter what you have, no matter what talent you have, no matter what treasure you have, and no matter how you use your time, you're a steward, and God is going to ask for an accounting of your time and of your treasure and of your talent, and we will all have to give an answer for that. Ouch! That is just like, so it's like Dave's like almost a social preacher there. I didn't write the book. I'm just reading it, okay? Okay. All this material is at least 2,000 years old. Thank you. All right, so now we're going to slow it down and get ready to do our first triv question. And why do we do trivia? We do trivia because we love trivia. Bible trivia is so good. It's good because it focuses on the Word of God, and that focus on the Word of God helps us because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we do know that the internet is not working. So we are aware of that for those that do not know that. We are getting ready to do our trivia question, but we do have somebody that's calling in. Do they have a question or a comment? Or
oh, it's Samson ready for the trivia question.
He's ready for the trivia question. Okay, so put him on through, and then I'll give him the trivia question. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, it's Greta. Greta.
I made you out of clay.
Happy Hanukkah, brother.
Happy Hanukkah, brother. And when you're dry and ready, a dreidel, I will play. Yay! Okay. Win. All right, brother. You're calling
and Shabbat Shalom as well.
Shabbat Shalom. You're calling in before the trivia question. You're bad.
Well, I think that's the only opportunity I have today. I say, I don't know if later on I'm going to get a chance or not.
Yeah.
And
well, right.
I have a prayer request, too.
Okay. We will absolutely be glad to pray for you. Make sure to turn down that radio. Here's the thing to remember. There is no internet for us today, so everything we're doing is straight off radio today. So it's just one of those days, if you know what I mean. Here we go, brother. I'll give you the trivia question, and then you can go from there. You ready?
Sure.
All right. What was the name of the door of the temple that Peter cured a lame person at in the book of Acts? Was it
beautiful?
It was beautiful. That's amazing. You didn't even get to the multiple choice. You just write in it. Beautiful. It's named Beautiful. That's the name, Beautiful. That is 100% correct, Amundo, sir.
And that's beautiful.
All right, my friend. What's your prayer request? What's going on?
Well, I was talking to my siblings from overseas, and they asked to pray with the believers, like God will intervene in their difficult situation, and also to put a unity among the siblings. So that's a very concern for all of us.
Okay. Now, the ones that are overseas, where are they located?
Let's not say.
Okay.
But
they
are in a difficult situation.
Difficult situation, safety-wise?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's pray for provision and protection for them and unity for your family. How about that?
And the wisdom.
Okay. And wisdom. Well, who doesn't need that? Okay. Let's pray. Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now, and first and foremost, we thank you because you are worthy of all praise, and there's nothing else that can be said. You are worthy of every ounce of breath we give back unto you, and you're even more worthy than that. And so, Lord, we pray for Samson's relatives in difficult situations. We, of course, pray for protection and provision, naturally and supernaturally, that they could be in a good space. And, Lord, we pray for unity amongst the family. Sometimes families have, you know, a little bit of biting and nipping at one another, but maybe a more of a humility and a oneness of mind and heart and purpose. And, Lord, for all of them, we pray wisdom. And you say, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. Who gives to all men generously and without finding fault. You're not even looking to tear us apart. You're looking to give us that wisdom. And we ask you to give that wisdom, not just to everybody who can hear my voice, but to Samson, to his family, to his relatives, and to everybody involved. Grant them that wisdom that they can know that the things that they are doing, thinking, and saying are in line with your desire and with your heart. We ask you to bless our brother, have him have a great weekend, and let that family be protected and provided for. Let them be well in spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
There you go, my brother.
Once again, happy Hanukkah, Shabbat Shalom, and God's blessing on you and your family and all our listeners.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much.
Okay. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye. All right. Great job by Samson. Okay, again, we are not on the internet, so I'm kind of letting people know. I'm letting Ken know. I got to tell him right now, no internet. So that's the nice way to say no internet. That's it. All right, let me go back to the text. This is called, I'm surprised we're getting a call, trust me. But that's all right. We're just going to keep going forward. Here we go. Verse 10 of James chapter 2. I love this stuff because it's the Word of God. And if you don't love the Word of God, you got to pray to have a passion and a love for the Word of God. It'll change your life. Verse 10 says this: whoever keeps the whole law but stumbles in just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. He who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but you commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. What happens is people think of the law as individual statements, 613 or 619 or actually 622 potential laws in the Old Testament, 10 main ones, right? Here's the reality check. All the laws are seen in the eyes of God as one collective. Okay, I'll say this in a sports analogy since we're going to do a sports take later on. It's kind of like this. The Dallas Cowboys have many football players. It's one team. Okay, got it. And so if one is dropped or chipped or broken, then the unit has been damaged. And in God's economy, if you think of the law as a stone or as a tablet, and you chip some of the stone or the tablet, or it's broken, then the law itself has been breached. And then that person, therefore, is a lawbreaker. So what does all that mean? It means that if we are doing really well in one realm, and many of us do in particular realms, but we're really doing poor in other realms, and many of us do in particular realms, that breach in that other realm means we are a entitled, in totality, lawbreaker. So you can't break one part of the law and not be a lawbreaker. That's what he's talking about. So he says, whoever keeps the whole law but stumbles in just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. So if you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you've become a lawbreaker. And then in verse 14, he says this, 12, he says this, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. What the Lord doesn't want you to do is operate in a law that gives bondage, but in a law that gives freedom. What's the law that gives freedom? What is he even talking about? Verse 13, judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. The answer to that question, understanding what the law of freedom is the law of freedom is mercy. Now, I want you to hear this. I'm going to share a dream that somebody had, and I hope Eric gets to hear this because this is good for his project. There was a man of God who had a dream, and he had this dream that there were all these people on the planet. Now, number one, this is not the Bible, so don't think that. It's a dream that a servant of God had. And in the dream, there was all this honey that was being poured out from heaven. And people were looking at it. They were touching it and looking at it and examining it. And some people were eating it as much as they could. And other people were trying to wipe it off. And everybody was kind of like having a different response to it. And so in the dream, this man of God asked, "What is this?" And God spoke to him and said, "This is my mercy, because mercy is poured out." And some people, they can't stand it. They hate mercy. "Oh, get it away from me. I'm a legalist. Other people love mercy. They have to eat it up. They have to eat as much honey as they can. So the honey, it was equated to mercy. And what I want you to catch is that when we're operating in the kingdom principles, we already know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. A principle in our operation is operating in mercy. And what people want is they want to receive mercy, but they have a harder time giving mercy. Hey, here's the key. The more mercy you receive, the more mercy you can give. You get that? The more mercy you receive, the more mercy you can give. Operate in mercy, the honey from God. Okay, if you're in San Diego or anywhere else, you can continue listening by going to, you can't do that. Just stick with the app, but you normally can go to HeMustIncrease.org. If you're in Dallas, hang out, take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry, first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to HeMustIncrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
Teaching time. I don't know how we're going to do the breaks, Gabriel, so I'll just look at me. I'll let you know. I mean, this is the best I can tell you. Because I'm going to teach you something that I hope I there's no way I can teach this. I can't teach the worth. I can't teach the value. But I'm going to do my best to share with you my heart in this process. As American people, as people who live in America, we have been granted the right to pursue happiness. And I want to make sure you understand what this means. We have a preamble to the United States Declaration of Independence, and the preamble to the Declaration says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, I do want to point out it does not say life, liberty, and the provisions of or for happiness. In other words, the rights that we have in the preamble is that we get to pursue happiness, not that it's provided for us by the government. So that's kind of an important point for people to recognize. It would be nice if they quit trying to quote our founding fathers and then say they're entitled to something because of that provision, because it never says that.